Brian Kelsey, cancellations. The window is 4 years.
All right, the Economic Development and Housing Budget Division for Wednesday, March 11th, will come to order. Senator Vickerman, welcome to the committee. You have a non-controversial extend the funds until expended bill. Let us know what's going on here.
Mr. Chair, we're here today ask that you give us some consideration of it, just not asking for any more money. The $800,000 grant was put in place in 2006 for remediation and demolition of the property. And the city has identified the public purpose as a new fire station, but has been looking at the possibility of co-locating a senior center or working with the county to add library facilities. The current grant provision of the grant requires a public purpose to be completed by December 31st, 2010. You know, and members and I know, that uncertainty with local government aids and consideration of other alternatives in current economic times as the city wrestles with the timing of legislation is placed on the completion of this project. All we'd like to do is add language: funds are available until expended to the original legislation. No cost to the state. Gives a little flexibility for the city to deal with the budgetary constraints that all cities are under. And I have Mr. Clark, City Administrator, if you would like him to give you more information, he's available.
Mr. Clark, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, for inviting me to testify on 752. The legislation represents...
Mr. Clark, just say your name for the record.
Sure. Craig Clark, Administrator for City of Worthington. This legislation represents a rather long process that started in 1997 with the Campbell Soup Company closing operations of their plant in downtown Worthington. After another company's failed attempt to take over the plant, the city found itself in possession of the property in 2005. Representing a significant blight on the downtown, the city worked with his counterparts in the House to secure the $800,000 in bond proceed grants to remediate contaminated soils and redevelop the site for a public purpose in 2006. This is a process that would have been very difficult financially for the city to take sole action on. If not for the state's help, the process of demolition and remediation would have dragged on and certainly impacted the quality of life in the heart of the city. I've handed out a handout that shows you the progression of the demolition and remediation of the site. I appreciate the significant undertaking that became the requirement that the city establish a public purpose, and the city has identified the purpose of a new fire station. Discussions of possible site for a new county library or senior center. Proactive in looking for operational efficiencies for co-location of facilities such as combined fire station and community center. This is an effort to take advantage of shared space areas such as restrooms and common meeting areas. Statutory provisions of the grant would require the cities to have the capital investment on site by December 31st, 2010. And unfortunately, the city is concerned that given current considerations with local government conditions, that the timeline of this public purpose might be difficult to fulfill. We're asking you to consider adding language to the original legislation that would allow the city the flexibility to complete this public improvement. Placement of the current fire station is fully warranted. Have been accommodated and economic conditions improved. This no-cost adjustment can be made to accommodate increasingly difficult budgetary constraints of the city. Again, we thank you for this opportunity to share our concerns with this legislation.
Okay. Any questions of the committee? Senator Metzen?
Mr. Chairman, we heard this before, and I think this is not a new proposal. It's an extension of what we did before. Is that correct? And it still seems to make sense to me. So
some time to do it.
Okay. I would move this for consideration, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, and Senator Vickerman, we're going to probably put this in the omnibus bill. Is that okay? And then we'll put it in the omnibus bill in the committee. And as soon as we get a quorum, okay, we now have a quorum. Get back in here. So Senator Metzen moves that Senate File 752 be laid over for inclusion in the omnibus economic development bill. So, any comments or questions? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Motion to adopt. Okay, thank you very much, Senator Vickerman. Senator Dibble. Senate File 928, Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. And I could first move an oral amendment. I guess we're just talking about business development programs in the metro area, so we need to put a period after metropolitan area on line 1.9, strike the remaining words on that line, and then strike line 1.10.
Okay, so Senator Dibble moves on line 1.9 after the word area to insert a period and delete the rest of the line and delete line 1.10. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion is adopted. Okay. Continue, Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. The Metropolitan Economic Development Association is an organization that's been around since 1971. They provide a tremendous array of assistance and support to businesses owned and managed by people of color, entrepreneurs of color, and those that primarily employ, folks of color as well. They do that through, like I said, a wide array of services. I don't know if you're getting this brochure is a very, very useful outline of the sorts of things that MEDA does. They provide business consulting, training, leadership development, financing, access to procurement networks. They provide all sorts of, they build social capital in those communities, provide great deal of leadership and mentorship opportunities. If you look at the brochure, you see that they assist with entrepreneurs in becoming certified so that they become eligible for some of the major procurement programs through the state. They have a loan program, one-on-one consulting, executive development, and on. The value that the dollars we spend result in a tremendous number of jobs. On my sheet here, it tells me that since 1971, over 17,000 entrepreneurs have been helped with, in the startup of more than 435 businesses. Just in the last few years, 2005 through 2007, MEDA has helped to start 50 businesses. 62% of them are still in business as of January of this year. They have a total of 315 current employees, or almost 80% of those 401 jobs that were created. And that does not include 19 businesses that they helped to start up in 2008, which produced 220 jobs. So with that, Mr. Chair, I have Ronna Chung-Ho, who's the president and CEO of MEDA, who can provide some more testimony.
Thank you very much, Senator Dibble, and thank you, Chairman Tomassoni, and all the committee members for this opportunity to present MEDA's request to you. And in addition to myself, I also have invited two longtime MEDA clients, and they will be introduced right after my brief introduction about MEDA and share with you their individual stories about their business and also how MEDA has helped their businesses.
Can you say your name for the record, too, please?
Yes, Yvonne Chung-Ho, President and CEO of a Metropolitan Economic Development Association, MEDA.
No. And how long have you been working for them?
I have worked there since 1993, so I've kind of risen through the ranks.
So have you ever done any contract procurement for business in northeast or southwest Minnesota?
Yes, we do have a Procurement Technical Assistance Center, so that's the reason why that language was there. We do, that center is statewide, and we do serve businesses in those regions of Minnesota.
So should we be putting that language back in or no?
I think right now for this, I think we'll focus on the minority business development. PTET will very much be a part of what we do, but I just feel that because it's more statewide, that instead of just concentrating on two areas in the state, that we'll just leave it at minority business development, if that's okay.
Well, it's up to Senator Dibble how he wants to do that. But.
We'll talk about it later.
Okay.
That's Mr. Chair.
It's his bill. So.
Oh, I was just advised that I should let you know that PTEC also gets federal funds, so that's supported by federal funded
what is?
Budget, the Department of Defense.
Yeah. The part of their program, the part of MEDA's program that serves northeast and southwest Minnesota.
Okay. All right.
Sorry.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, for the past 38 years, MEDA has provided business development resources to help entrepreneurs of color to start and or grow their businesses. And the focus we have in terms of providing our services are those entrepreneurs that we feel have a vision to grow their business, to be sustainable, and also to be good employers providing quality jobs. Each year, we help about 600 potential and existing businesses. And I just have a handout that was distributed to you that shows the results of our work in 2008. If we just look at the 19 businesses we helped to start up last year and the businesses we helped to finance, they created 240 new jobs and also sustained an additional 160 positions. Mentioned earlier, our procurement technical assistance centers, which helps businesses to sell to the government, reported 96 government contracts awarded to entrepreneurs of color and for a total of $141 million. And, of course, that also translates to job creation and retention, and it's about 2,500 jobs there. In the last 5 to 6 months, we really see a change in the type of assistance we have to give to our clients because of the recession. And many of the business owners that come in, they have existing businesses, and so we need to provide advice and also financing for them because the credit market really has tightened. So our loan program is a very crucial part of helping them. But we feel that, you know, we don't want them to become a casualty for the recession. And by doing that, we also help them to save the jobs that they have in their company. We're very mindful about the state budget deficit, but this is also a time when the services provided by MEDA is extremely critical to help these businesses to stay afloat and to survive. And these are the businesses that are also the economic engine that provides the employment that will help our country through this current crisis. And so what I have done is I have invited two of our longtime clients, Tony Williamson, who owns Ajasa Technologies, and also Kathy Cruz Gooch, who owns Catalia Specialty Foods, to just share very briefly with you about their businesses and the impact that MEDA has on those operations. Mm-hmm. Tony and Kathy, can you please join me here?
In the budget base.
Welcome to the committee. Who wants to go first?
Thank you.
Please say your name for the record, please.
My name is Kathy Cruz Gooch, and I am president and CEO of Catalia Mexican Foods. Chairman Tomasino and committee members, good afternoon.
Other way around.
Pardon me?
O-N-I, not I-N-O. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. My name is Kathy Cruz Gooch, president and CEO of Catalia Mexican Foods. Catalia Mexican Foods is a manufacturer of premium wheat flour tortillas located in Eagan, Minnesota. I appreciate this opportunity to share briefly my entrepreneurial journey and the positive impact that MEDA has provided in helping in the development and growth of my business. We have been in the Eagan facility for 3 years, and we are proud to provide tortillas to the food service industry. Prior to 2005, we had product made to our recipe and specifications and employed a very small group. Today, we employ over 65 persons and provide good wages and benefits, including health care. Each day, our company produces approximately 1.5 million tortillas, which equates to approximately 160,000 pounds of finished goods, servicing over 5,000 restaurants in the United States and Canada.
How many times would it fill up this table?
Quite a few. On an annual basis, we purchase approximately $13 million of goods and services from Minnesota companies. MEDA has helped my company in the formation and structure of the company and has helped us develop the financial model that we use today, along with helping us source business professionals and associates that have resulted in long-standing relationships for over 20 years. Therefore, I am asking for your support of MEDA, whose mission is to help many entrepreneurs of color. Their efforts are clearly making a difference in the business world and local community. And I am before you today as an example of the support system that MEDA has provided. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chair and other committee members, and it's my pleasure to be here today. We are a company that came to MEDA back in 1995. But for the record, my name is Anthony Williamson. I'm the president and CEO of Ajasa Technologies. And as I said, back in 1995, I came in as an independent contractor with no skills in order to sell to the business community. With the help of MEDA and my coaches, we've been able to start our business, which is an information technology consulting and staffing company. Over the years, we've been able to grow our business from a one-person organization for myself to over 117 employees, but also we work with over 300 other independent contractors who pay state taxes in the state of Minnesota. So we work with over 420 consultants here in the Twin Cities area. Without the help of MEDA and giving us the direction, the business plan, okay, the advice, my company would not be here today. I may have a full-time job somewhere here in the Twin Cities, but now I'm living the American dream. It's given us an opportunity to create jobs in our community, but also more than that, it's given us the opportunity to share the wealth that we've been able to create to other organizations such as Phyllis Wheatley Community Center, Crystal Care Community Center, where we've been able to help other organizations based off of what we've done as a company. One thing that MEDA did give us, and this is the key point for me, everyone else has a story, but the key point for us is we had the advice, the direction, okay, but it gave us access to key buyers that we've been able to have direct relationships with that gave our company a chance. Without MEDA, we may have not gotten a chance. Yvonne and I have been working together for years now, and I can attest that we would not have grown to a $41 million company, paying $7,642,000 in gross wages without the help of Yvonne and MEDA. So I want to just compel you guys, okay, if you can find the funding, because there can be another entrepreneur like myself that comes up that needs the help. And it's always good to start a business, okay, but how do you get to the next level? So MEDA has helped start our business. But also, where we're going now is they're taking us through some leadership programs. They helped put together my board. Okay, they're giving us access to different tools that we need in order to grow into a successful business. We don't want to be a mediocre janitorial business. Okay, we want to be a great company, and we're going to roll with MEDA from this point on. You know, whether we get the funding or not, you know, we'll find a way. But I'm going to ask you to give Yvonne Chunho and MEDA the money that's necessary to keep entrepreneurs like myself in business. Thank you.
Thank you. How long did it take you to get to your current size?
We came in 1995, and right now, you know, we started with one contract. And so last year we did $41 million. The year before we did $47 million in revenue. And this year is on pace to hit 50. And Yvonne, with the advice that I've gotten from the board members that she chose, or the organization chose, they're giving us day-to-day direction on how we can run our organization. For instance, how do you make sure that you get through this economic crisis and become a stronger company through it? And so we have not had to lay off anyone. We have not had to go back and say everyone needs to take a 10% cut. Okay, with my coaches and the team that we have at MEDA, I can pick up the phone, and if I need accounting advice, the accounting advice comes up. If I need attorney advice, the attorney advice comes up. Whatever we need, Yvonne Chunho and MEDA has always been there for us. And so I have a cold today. I was going to stay home, but there's no way for me to miss this meeting today because it's really, really a serious meeting that we're trying.
You don't look sick.
You know what? That's how tough I am. Shake my hand, you'll find out.
Okay, I'll trust you then. Senator Kielash, did you have your hand up?
Yeah, just curious, have you turned around and started, both for both of you, have you turned around and started giving advice to MEDA clients?
We have, I have. There have been other entrepreneurs that have looked at starting a business, and so if I can give back anyway by consulting or working with other entrepreneurs, I'm always happy to do that. I'm also now on the MEDA Board of Directors, so it's been great.
Oh, absolutely. It's my duty to help any entrepreneur that has a vision. We work with the MBE IC. That's the Minority Business Enterprise. That's all the members. And we have what they call an orientation. Okay, and part of the orientation is taking new members and getting them accustomed to how do you approach a Medtronic, how do you approach a 3M and some of the large financial institutions that we have, and give them the guidelines in order for their presentation skills, what they're going to need to look for financing, build some good relationships with your bankers. Okay, make sure that you have a business plan and try to follow that plan. And so it's a lot of details that go into it. And I don't know if you can tell on that, but I really enjoy what I do. And helping entrepreneurs, I mean, that's something I would love to do and I would continue to do.
Yvonne, how many employees do you have?
We have 22 employees.
22 employees, okay. All right.
As I mentioned, we have, the consulting services. So many of our the staff that's with MEDA, they are the ones that are actually day in and day out working with clients like Kathy and Tony.
Okay. All right. Senator Torres-Ray, did you want to chime in here, or you just you don't have to?
Mr. Chairman,
because we're probably ready to vote.
Members, I couldn't resist to come here
Wait, get up to the table and say something at the moment. No, you can do it right there. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Get by a microphone.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know if you
need a microphone.
I need a microphone. I was preparing for my Parks and Trails Committee, but I turned on the TV and I saw this hearing, and I saw Kathy Cruz on TV in this hearing, and I couldn't resist to come over here to tell you that you need to request a visit to her factory, because it was one of the proudest things, proudest moments for me when I came to visit you and to see what you've done. It's just remarkable. And as a Latina, I have to tell you that I'm so proud of you and the work that you've done. And I am so glad, Senator Dibble, that you're here to really present these stories to us. And we need to do more of that. And as a matter of fact, that's one of the, Senator Tomassoni, the work that you do here with these models, with these companies, with this kind of work, is something that if I am reelected, I'm going to ask to be appointed to your committee, because I love to talk about this. And when we talk about people of color in particular, as you know, we're always talking about disparities, we're always talking about achievement gaps, and these are the kind of stories that I want to hear more of, and I want us to invest more in the work that you do. So I'm very proud of your work, and thank you, Senator Dibble, for coming here to present that work to us.
Senator Torres-Ray, by the way, before you leave, Senator Dibble has room on this bill for one more author, so if you want to join, go ahead.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Sparks.
To that point, I think, thank you, testifiers. You did a wonderful job. And I don't have my budget book with me, but maybe council can help us. Was this in the governor's recommendation?
Mr. Jensen.
Mr. Chairman, members, the base budget here was $310,000 for the biennium. The governor cuts $100,000 of that money, so there'd be $105,000 each year still in the budget.
And then this would be in addition to the $105,000, right?
Mr. Chairman, this would be in addition to that, and perhaps the question is, should the language say this is added to the budget base?
And would you like that to say that?
Senator Dibble.
Oh. Also, thank you.
Senator Dibble.
So soon I forget. Also, just to round out the picture, should remember this because it's part of our effort here in the committee. We also allow MEDA to have $100,000 in one-time dollars last year. I think let's add it to the base. Add this to the base. I know this is a tough year,
You want to change the language somehow?
To make sure that we're being clear.
Mr. Chairman, members, we would just add that these amounts are added to the budget base.
Where will we put it in?
Mr. Chairman, on line 1.9 after the period, after area in the period, then you just say, these amounts are added to the department's budget base.
Okay, Senator Dibble will move that. So, any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion adopted. Okay. All right. Any other comments, questions? Anybody else want to add anything? Okay. Then Senator Dibble moves that Senate file 928 be laid over for inclusion in the Omnibus Economic Development Bill. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion adopted. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Presentation. Senator Scoey, Senate file 1027.
This is such a good plan.
Yes, I
did. You should do that all the time.
Dibble. Senator Scoey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members. And as I listened to that previous testimony, I'm here to tell you that I'm here with the future entrepreneurs, people that are young now, but in 20 years they're going to be entrepreneurs and business people and all kinds of positive things for our state as a result of the Boys and Girls Club that they're participating in. I would ask you to read the mission statement that's on your handout. It's to enable all young people, especially those who need us most, to reach their fullest potential as productive, caring, and responsible citizens. And, you know, as this committee is charged to do workforce development, what better place to start than with these young men and women and young boys and girls as they work through the Boys and Girls Club. I'm here with a request for funding. We did have one-time money the last time we were in front of this committee, I believe, and we're here with a request for $900,000 for the next couple of years to continue funding for the Boys and Girls Clubs of Minnesota. I do want to say, Mr. Chair and members, that while I am carrying two bonding bills, this is the only appropriation bill that I'm carrying this session. And the reason I'm doing it is because it's so important that we're able to continue this great program. I'm here with
Senator Scoey. Before you go any further, Council, what did the governor's budget recommend here?
Mr. Chairman, members, the base budget was $1 million each fiscal year. The governor eliminated the entire $1 million, so there's no funding for the Boys and Girls Club in the governor's budget.
Okay. I figure we should keep that in mind while we're doing this. So, okay. Senator Scoey.
And so I'm here with a large number of people and young people, and I think I'm going to turn it over to them. Now, the last time I was in front of this committee, they did such a great job, and I kind of just stepped away.
Is anybody on? Anybody here that's on one of these flyers? Is your hair pulled back here, or is it just did you have it cut? What? Did you pull your hair? You just pulled it back? Yeah. Okay. All right.
So, Mr. Chair, I'm going to turn this over to them, and I'm going to just step back for a second, and we'll provide some testimony here.
Okay.
Thank you.
Say your name for the record.
Erin Carlin. I'm the Boys and Girls Clubs of the Twin Cities CEO. And thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee, for giving us the opportunity to come in and speak with you today about the great programs that we have going on to help youth employment. The Boys and Girls Clubs of Minnesota is located across the state of Minnesota with 11 corporate sites with 45 club locations. We serve youth ages 7 to 18 with a wide variety of programs that develop them into those productive, caring, and responsible citizens. We serve over 61,000 youth annually, and we serve approximately 3,000 kids each day. We have a youth development strategy to really help wrap around all our services, and we have great partnerships with businesses, schools, government. The Workforce Development Initiative is what was funded for the last 2 years, and that's created the opportunity for many teens to go through the program to secure work. And there are four programs within the Workforce Development. It is Career Launch, Job Ready, Goals for Growth, Smart Moves, and all of those programs are nationally renowned and well-known proven programs to help us get our youth where they need to be to secure and retain jobs. We have had over 7,000 youth graduate from our programs, and we've had a total of 1,000 teenagers having been trained for the workforce. Our goals match your goals in that we are there to cultivate entrepreneurs, enhance community vitality, strengthen the workforce, foster self-sufficiency, and address economic change. And we really do that through our programs and working in partnership with local businesses and securing jobs for teens. We have three teens here that have gone through our program, and they're going to speak directly to their experience with the program with the Boys and Girls Clubs.
Thank you, Ms. Carlin. Who wants to go first?
I will. My name is Kelita Jones. I'm a club member from the West Side Boys and Girls Club. I've been in Smart Moves programs ever since I was 10 years old, and now I'm 17, and I'm still in them. And they helped me build my character and make me the person that I am right now. And Job Ready has given me opportunity to have a job for 3 years, and it's not just like something you just go to because you need a job. It's like something you want to go to. You want to be there. Career Launch is guiding me to let me know like what different stuff is out there, all the different possibilities for careers and what type of schooling and stuff that you need for your careers. We go on lots of college field trips, and I help a lot of the younger kids that are in Goals for Growth, and they get really, really excited about how they achieve their goal for the week and what their goal was. And I also help them with Smart Girls. It's a program for like younger girls. I was also in it when I was younger.
Thank you. Who's next?
Hey, my name is Manda Kumbi. I've also been in those programs, and Job Ready. You learn about different type of jobs, how to manage money, how to take an interview, how to do your resume, how to dress for a job. Like, I know before I got into the program, I wanted to know how to wear, how to even tie a tie or dress up or anything. I would probably want an interview with some jeans on or something. But, like, I got my resume started. Sure. I got my first job this summer. And those type of things. For the Smart Moves, I was in Smart Leaders. I learned how to make myself a better leader, and now I'm the Youth of the Year for the Twin Cities.
Hey.
And Career Launch, you do a lot of things. We go on field trips. We bring in guest speakers and people from all different type of fields, like police officers, technicians, all that good stuff. And it's helped me figure out what I want to do. I'm going to become an athletic trainer. And things like that.
Would you stand up, please, so we can see your tie? It's the right length and everything. Like,
Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I had to come from the House to the Senate to learn how to do that.
See, Metzen probably taught you how too. Is that what you did? Yeah, she's next. Yeah, she's next.
My name is Tatiana Thompson. I'm a member of the West Side Boys and Girls Club. I have been in Career Launch, but I really wanted to be in Job Ready. Like they said, it helps you build a resume, helps for your interview process. I got my first jobs at Chuck E. Cheese and Checkers through that, and they really helped me. Because having two jobs and also being a full-time high school student, not easy, and the Boys and Girls Club helped me with my homework and also, like, with family issues or friend issues that I have, and they gave me somewhere to go when I had house problems, family problems. They helped me manage my money, balance my time between the two. I was working, like, 30-hour weeks, and that's not easy when you're a junior and you're trying to do good in high school and eventually try to go to college. So Job Ready really helped me just thankful that I got to go to the Boys and Girls Club and get on the right path instead of leading down the path that I've seen others go down. So it's really helped me a lot in my life.
Okay, thank you. Any questions or of any of these three? Any members? No. Okay. One more testifier? Okay. All right.
I can call myself an addict of the Boys and Girls Club. My name is Patty Yarbrough.
I'm glad you threw that in there.
I'm the owner of a business in St. Cloud area, and I am the president of the Minnesota Alliance of the Boys and Girls Club. And I'm a little old, so I had to write down all the stuff. I have passion for this, so I'd like to share some of my
Just so you know, the memory gets worse as you get older. So.
Yes, I have been involved in the Boys and Girls Club. I've had my business for 25 years, but I've been on the board and involved right in the 20-year range, and it is my addiction. It is wonderful what they do for people. And this over 20 years of passion we provide continues to grow over time, wonderful things for young people. As a business owner, I recognize the significance of sporting organizations that strengthen our community's young people and prepare them for the workforce so that they can be self-sufficient contributors. My business is particularly supportive of the workforce programs the Boys and Girls Club provides and have been involved in employing. And there's a lot of kids that have moved forward into the college and the technical schools through these wonderful work programs through the Boys and Girls Club. And I am committed to help a healthier, stronger Minnesota, and I know the Boys and Girls Club program works. Private funders across the state of Minnesota feel the same way I do and support their clubs. They see that the return on their investment is great. In fact, if you refer to the revenue sources, you will see in there the revenue sources. And there's only 6% of the Boys and Girls Club funding from the state of Minnesota, but passion. And I've always said, since you all have supported us, that lets business people see how important and wonderful this organization is to move forward for a lot of young people. Your support helps us leverage a much greater percentage of support for private partnerships. There are some wonderful things going with the Boys and Girls Club across the state of Minnesota, and I am excited to be a part of them. The Boys and Girls Club offers at-risk young people that they need and want most, adults who respect and listen to them, a safe environment where they can have fun and be themselves, and interesting, constructive activities that channel youthful energy into challenging pursuits. Today, more than 61,000, she maybe already brought this up, ages 5 to 18 are participating in the clubs in the state of Minnesota. At the clubs, youth begin thinking about potential careers as early as age 8 through the programs developed by the Boys and Girls Club of America. These programs help club members assess their skills, interests, explore careers, make sound educational decisions, am I right? And prepare to join our nation's ever-changing workforce. On behalf of the Alliance, I would like to thank senators of the Minnesota Legislature for funding our workforce program for the second cycle. We are confident. We say that we have delivered results for the state of Minnesota during the first funding cycle, succeeding our participation goal by 22%. Minnesota Boys and Girls Clubs are once again providing 4 nationally tested and proven programs. And she just brought those up: Career Launch, Job Ready, Goals of Growth, and Smart Moves. These are wonderful programs. The Boys and Girls Club workforce development programs achieve deed agency goals across the state by creating and retaining jobs, by cultivating entrepreneurs, by enhancing community vitality. The club works with the community employers, like my business, to expose the youth to the local employment opportunities. And these clubs are local, and it's been wonderful to have become a state alliance so that we can tell you it's not just one town, it's every town. Well, they're just in many, many places in this state. Not everywhere, but in so many places. And the National Boys and Club program with these Mark, these are just amazing what they teach these kids. The Boys and Girls Club provides a safe, healthy environment for youth and enables parents and guardians to maintain their employment without worrying on their children's safety. Strengthening the workforce, particularly by serving underserved youth and providing opportunities for youth in various levels of employment, Boys and Girls Club strengthens the current workforce. Fostering self-sufficiency. Club programs provide youth the personal growth opportunities at a critical stage in their development in order to foster their future success. Addressing economic change. By encouraging awareness of the economic climate, at an early age, Boys and Girls Club programs help youth become comfortable adapting and developing skills to address job market needs. Nearing the end of the second cycle of funding, the Boys and Girls Club produced excellent results in the program, and I think that she already shared a lot of that with you. In a total of 8,233 youth have attended at least 70% of the programs, and 1,065 teenagers have been trained at the workforce. I'd like to thank DEED for the opportunity to deepen our impact on young people entering the workforce. I'd also like to take the time to thank the Boys and Girls Club staff in attendance today for their daily support of Minnesota's youth. Finally, I must thank all the teens that are here and spoke to you, demonstrating the hope and opportunity in the clubs. In the state of Minnesota, I thank every one of you also for just listening to me. It's my addiction and my passion. The Boys and Girls Club does wonderful things for young people, and it does move them forward in a positive way into the work world, very much so.
Well, your passion and dedication are pretty obvious by your presentation.
I'm addicted.
And Senator Scoy, you have some very good witnesses, so we appreciate all of you.
Thank you.
Anybody want to add something?
I would like to say thank you, Mr. Chair and committee, for allowing us to speak today.
Thank you very much.
And also, we would like to invite you guys to our legislative breakfast on April 7th.
You guys should have an invitation.
So.
What time?
Early in the morning.
What is 7 a.m.
7 in the morning.
Oh.
It's breakfast.
Farmers will be there.
The night before is the boys, the youth of the year program.
Metzen will be there. Okay.
I encourage all you guys to come the night before, where a couple of us give a speech for Youth of the Year from Minnesota. I'll be running.
And where's that at?
At Crown Plaza. Okay.
Crown Plaza. Yeah, and the Youth of the Year is the night before, and then the next morning the breakfast, and some of those kids will speak, and it is so exciting.
Great. Is there anybody else, Senator Scoy?
No, that's all.
Any comments or questions from the committee? Senator Kielash.
Yeah, just a quick question. Does the Boys and Girls Club employ the youth, or is that all outside jobs? I'm not sure how the program works.
They do both.
Absolutely.
Okay. I worked at a club.
Okay.
Some work at the club, and I actually have had some at my business, and other, you know, they become involved, you know.
Okay.
This program teaches them wonderful things about the work world.
I got that part of it, but I wasn't sure if they were actually employing and helping them find summer jobs or year-round jobs
summer
and that
time,
stuff.
Yeah.
This and that.
Okay, thank you.
What kind of jobs have you guys done as a result of being affiliated here?
Well, I've worked at Chuck E. Cheese, Checkers. I volunteered at the Boys and Girls Club at Goodwill. That's about it.
Okay. I worked at camps and at the Boys and Girls Club.
I've worked at the Boys and Girls Club, but even with these programs, like, we even go to Old Navy. And we work at the cash register. We put clothes on the racks as if it was a real job.
Yeah.
And some people do get hired also.
And so that's just for experience? You don't get paid to do it? Mm-hmm. Volunteer work? Okay. All right. Okay. Senator Saxhog would move that Senate file 1027.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I'd move that Senate file 1027 be passed and moved on to
late over.
and laid over for possible inclusion
in the omnibus economic development bill. Okay, any other comments or questions? All right, seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion adopted. Okay, thank you, Senator Scoia, and thank you all for being here. I appreciate it. Cap, next meeting.
Mr. Chair and members, the next meeting we are going on a field trip out to Senator Ortman's district to hear from the locals and their about their local economy.
So that's on Monday, and the bus will be leaving at what time?
3 o'clock. Senator,
who? Bus will be leaving at 3 o'clock from the front of the...
Boarding at 3, boarding out at 3. In front of the state capitol.
Okay. All right. Then meeting adjourned.
Oh,